On October 27th, Best Seat in the House, Jed and Joey talked about what they learned when Virginia Tech beat Clemson 24-7 Thursday night.
Ah, the familiar tones, and a familiar setting and a familiar result last night in Blacksburg. Thursday night, under the lights at Lane Stadium. They're back. For one night at least, Virginia Tech football, the way most of us know it, and certainly the way all of us know it traditionally on Thursday nights, Virginia Tech football is back in grand fashion. Welcome in. Friday, Best Seat in the House. Just can't get used to the time change. I'm sorry. Just can't get used to it.
What time is it?
5:34.
I mean, dude, it's only 30 minutes different, but this has like rattled my core all the way to the end. I mean, I can't get used to this. So please indulge. We'll just speed our way through an hour of the Best Seat in the House. A new time tonight, 5:30 to 6:30. The Jetteroo Jed Williams, not wearing the Fear the Roo shirt. It's not like I dressed up. I just didn't wear Fear the Roo today. And that's good news for Joey Mancini, I think. I don't know where to go with that.
You couldn't wear it 2 days in a row.
Speaking
well, you
of
have
dressed
two, though,
up,
so you
look,
could've.
Look at you, sartorial sir.
Yeah, you know, I got a little day function with a girlfriend and her parents tonight.
Girlfriend?
Sal and Karen Naso coming into town. Jackie and I.
Wait,
I'm trying to class it up a little bit.
I interrupted. Give the shout out again.
Oh, Sal and Karen Naso.
Sal,
there we go.
Karen.
See, I'm the good boyfriend.
Welcome.
Here.
Absolutely. Now, you're picking up the check, right, Sal and Karen? Yeah. Just checking. Having some fondue tonight. Nothing says formal like fondue.
Yeah, what is that place called?
The Melting
Pot. Melting
Pot,
yeah.
Kind
where
of
we're
like,
going.
Kind of like the ideas
you'll
on our
there.
Show.
You'll be there. Come say hi.
Okay.
Be in a white shirt.
You done with your piece now? Jumping all over the place. Can I talk for a second? Walker Freer is outside. Adrian Vigil is roving. Remember old roving Ryan Henderson, who's now down at Virginia Tech? Now we have roving AV. The technical producer of this show, Roving AV, will be on the corner in just a little bit. And we're going to take a lot of your phone calls tonight, 977-1070, 977-1070, 1-800-688-9462. You can email us, jed@wina.com, jed@wina.com. We podcast this show every single day, wina.com, thesaber.com, sevillepodcast.com, and the iTunes network, iTunes.com. Here's what's in it for you. A little bit later in the show, we'll do the full comprehensive preview, unlike any other. We're the most comprehensive, thorough Virginia football operation out there, and we'll prove it to you until 6:30 with Virginia NC State Talk and your guest, the score calls. You know how the drill works. You call in, you give us a score, you give us the winner of the game, and I usually ask you a question. I want you to come on the air and have to earn your stripes a little bit. You have to give us some analysis, and the analysis now is, with the way Virginia played against Maryland and then rebounded against North Carolina, Joey, listeners, have these Virginia Cavaliers officially learned how to win in the ACC? Because tomorrow's a pick'em game. It's a toss-up game. It's a 50-50 push kind of game that could go either way. And it takes a team that basically has learned how to win to figure out how to win a close, you know, roll-of-the-dice game like tomorrow at noon. Has Virginia matured enough, turn that proverbial corner enough where the Cavaliers have truly learned how to win a game that could go either way tomorrow against NC State? So answer that question and call in and guess your score at 977-1070, 977-1070. We'll give away a qualifying prize package at the end of the show. If you're closest to the score, and we'll find that out after tomorrow, you'll get all kinds of cool prizes. We'll give you a Saber Edge subscription, VAF golf shirt, Wild Wing lunch for two. You get the idea. Right, Joey?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I need to take care of some business real fast. Traffic is awful. It's unbelievable. It's like an SAT question. Is it because it's raining? Is it because it's Halloween weekend? Is it because it's on the eve of a football game? Is it because people don't know how to drive? Is it because we only have one lane in this city for every road? Is it all of the above? Is it B and C, but not D, perhaps A? It's like an SAT question from hell.
A little bit of everything. A lot of rain, though.
250, the bypass at the Ivy Road intersection is all bottled up, all the way back to 29 North. It's bad. And it's not good for somebody like me that has to go out and do some Halloween costume shopping right after this show.
Yeah, who are you going
to
be?
That would be Marcus Vick, convict.
Ken Fishes again with the Charlotte Observer. You're right-handed and your brother's left?
Exactly.
How'd that happen?
I really don't know. Some kind of sperm count or something.
Mom and dad, everybody else in the family, who's right and who's left?
Mike, he's the only left-handed person in the family, so that's odd.
That's odd. That's like vintage Pinot Grigio. Just gets better and better with age, doesn't it? Joey, I never did
about
tired
a year
of hearing
ago,
that.
Huh?
Yeah, so I'll be breaking out on the corner tomorrow night, the orange jumpsuit, with the Legend of Ron Mexico shirt, the giant rapper shades. I'm going to have my, what else do I have? Oh, I've got the eye black strips that the football players wear. One's going to have, right. One's going to have 757. Okay. The other's going to have bad news.
All right,
there you go. And some chains and bling and stuff. And maybe a fake gun for the McDonald's in Suffolk. Marcus Vick.
That's a good costume.
Convict.
That's you a like solid that costume. One? I like that one.
You're going with the inflatable sumo.
Yeah. It's a mainstay in my Halloween experience.
What if we meet on the corner tomorrow night? What would that be
well,
like?
Well, hello.
How are you? Have we met before? Speaking of have they met before, had Clemson ever met Lane Stadium on a Thursday night? Evidently not, because the final score was 24-3 Virginia Tech. And kids, as I like to say, it was 24-3. But it wasn't that close, sweetheart. I mean, if you watched that game last night, if you listened to that game last night, it wasn't even close. It was 24-7. It was 24-7. Thank you, Walker. Might as well have been 124-7. In so many ways, it reminded me of last year's Thursday night game in Blacksburg. You were down there in the president's box. Mm-hmm. It was a very good top 20 Boston College team. You know, the big fundamental. They run the ball. They run you over. They overpower you. They don't make mistakes. They're good defensively. They're a good all-around team. And they went in there and just had tremors in their cleats.
I mean, we talk a lot about intangibles in terms of players. There are intangibles in terms of Virginia Tech, Lane Stadium, Thursday night. There's just a little bit more out there that you don't see that goes beyond the numbers, and that really showed last night and showed last year, you know, when Boston College came to town.
Maybe it's a lot more. It's a gigantic intangible because it turned a team that we were about to crown a juggernaut. We were about to crown this team. I had already done it. Crown them the best team in the ACC and a team that I said last night could go to the BCS and win a BCS bowl game. And Clemson was turned into a timid, frightened shell of itself. They didn't take any chances down the field. They had one plan and one plan only, and that is we're going to run the ball. And when that doesn't work, well we're going to run the ball. It's going to work, right? We've
always done it.
That defense is so prideful. And when it gets its pride bruised and the lunch pail gets taken away the way Bud Foster stripped it away from those guys, that defense gets ravenous, carnivorous, downright obsessive.
Scary. Halloween scary.
They were maniacal last night. On every play, it looked like there were 79 maroon jerseys and 3 white jerseys. Now, some of that comes back to Rob Spence's overly conservative one-track mind game plan for Clemson. We're going to run with Davis, who's not healthy. We're going to run with Spiller, who's not healthy. And when that doesn't work, we're going to run some more, even though we're getting run out of the gym.
We're not going to trust our quarterback to do anything to get us back in the game.
Even though we trusted him earlier in the year at Boston College, at Florida State, and at Wake Forest, now suddenly, inexplicably, in game 8 or 9, going to Lane, we're going to give in to the mythology of how frightening this building can be, and we're not going to run anything down the field, even though we've got our best wideout Chancey Stuckey back, and we have the best overall speed and athletes in the ACC. So a thumbs down to Clemson for that. But a big thumbs up to Virginia Tech. For one day, they got the swagger back, and they got Lane Stadium's aura back. Is Dave here to talk some Hokie football real fast? Let's take Dave on line one. Hi, Dave.
Hey, well, I can talk Hokie football and the UVA prediction, too. But
okay.
First off, you might remember me from being your mechanical guy there back in the studio when you were doing high school football on Friday nights like tonight.
Brother, I know who you are, absolutely. And those were the, speaking of vintage, those were the vintage good old days.
Yeah, you and Joe Bingler and me back in the house.
You know, and isn't it amazing that we've all moved on to different roles except for Bingler, who will be doing this until he's 412.
That's right.
You know,
well, he was my football coach when I was in high school, so he goes way back with me.
Indeed. So, Dave, did you watch that Hokie game last night?
I sure did, and there was something I just wanted to mention. Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned part of it. You know, they took away the lunch pail and really got that defense angry. I think this is horrible to say because I hate to see bad sportsmanship like I saw in the BC game, but what resulted from that, what the coaches did, how they turned the players around, it seems to be exactly what Virginia Tech needed.
It was a great team win, and that's what Frank Beamer was extolling after the game. And absolutely, we may not be Hokie fans here, but they won the game, and they won the game convincingly. And, Dave, they won it the right way. And for that, they should be applauded because right now, Virginia Tech is probably back on track to be a contender in the ACC, and they're doing it the way Hokie fans would like them to.
Right, and if not a BC, they're looking at probably a really good bowl if they keep this up.
Indeed. Good stuff, sir. So what do you think about tomorrow at noon real fast?
I'm not going to make – I hated to be the first guy to come on the air, but I'm thinking –
You got it, though.
I'm thinking I'm thinking 31-13 NC State.
Whoa, emphatic. Really? Why so?
Yeah. Well, because State has played very well in the ACC. They've had a few bumbles, but they've lost close. And I'm just not sure that this Cavalier team is ready to rest on their laurels, and if they come in tomorrow after finally putting a good product on the field last week, they may get run, like you said, run out of the gym.
Well, I guess that's the question is, does Virginia really know how to win consistently? Have they found the winning formula consistently? And that's what we'll find out tomorrow at noon.
That's right.
Thank you, brother. Good to hear from you.
All right. Take it easy.
Take care. Dave on line one. Let's get back to the Hokie stuff here. You know, you and I talked last night. You were on the lawn, mm-hmm. studying, of course.
Yep.
I was coming back from Bruce Sanborn's movie Esperanza. 8 minutes of fun. It was good, though. Hey, come back to the microphone here. Come back. I need you back for this segment, okay? And I gave you a score report. And you talked to me on the phone and said, you know, you had this game absolutely wrong. You used your head, you overanalyzed this game with your head, and you forgot mm-hmm. about the gut feeling and the intangibles that go with just going with your heart, going with your gut as a fan. It's like Lee Corso and Kirk Herbstreit. Herbstreit breaks down all the numbers and all the stuff, and Lee Corso gets more picks right on College Game Day because he just has some hunch, some gut feeling, some intuition, and he just goes with the emotion of the moment. I should have known better. And going totally with my head and picking Clemson.
We should tell
Clemson.
People, you had your Virginia Tech pick crossed out and then picked Clemson.
I had it Virginia Tech 21, right. Clemson 13. I scratched out Virginia Tech,
exactly.
changed it to Clemson, mm-hmm. and I crossed out Clemson, changed it to Virginia Tech, and I made it 21-13. Same score, different teams. Why didn't I do it? I didn't obey my gut. I went with my head. I broke down all the numbers. I broke down all the talent, all the high school All-Americans, the fact that one team was surging and the other was foundering, all those little things that are good for media guides. What did I forget about? There are a bunch of things I overlooked here. First of all, you nailed the first one right on the head. Thursday night in Blacksburg. Until they lose a game on Thursday night in Blacksburg, never assume they're going to. Always assume they're going to win a game down there on a Thursday night. I think I totally undervalued how important that dynamic was mm-hmm. in the game. As much as it was what it did for Virginia Tech's emotion, it was how it created a shell of Clemson's former self.
Right.
I mean, Clemson went in the fetal position while Virginia Tech went crazy last night. I overlooked the Thursday in Blacksburg dynamic. I overlooked the pride of Bud Foster and the Virginia Tech defense. Lunch pail taken away. That's how they built their reputation 15 years ago. It's how they've sustained mm-hmm. excellence over a decade and a half. They have great players on that defense. Would you like to imitate me at this point? Rouse, Hall, Adebi, Flowers, Ellis. They have great
Macho
players
Harris.
On that defense who are finally getting discipline, mm-hmm. who finally got the mm-hmm. message across. And they played, not reckless, but they played ravenous defense last night. Nobody does Rodney Dangerfield in college football quite like Virginia Tech. Because 15 years ago, nobody respected Virginia Tech. Mm-hmm. So they've been able to play no respect, no respect, no respect for 15 years. People respect them now, but they're able to cling to that and hang their hat on that like it still works. Because 15 years ago, it did work for them. That's how their program was constructed. Ohio State, Oklahoma, USC, Texas, they can't say the same thing.
Right.
Frank Beamer can legitimately go in that locker room and go, here we go. Back to no respect again, back to 1990, might as well be Rodney Dangerfield and back to school mm-hmm. all over again. And nobody plays that card in a single game when all the chips are at the front of the table like Virginia
like the
Tech.
Yeah.
And they played it last night. And then, of course, there's Clemson's annual flake job. Mike Harris had this pegged last night from the Richmond Times-Dispatch. He goes, you know, once a year, Clemson just retreats into the fetal position and falls apart.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, they were down 45-3 to Wake Forest and lost 45-24. It happens at least once a year. Maybe I just am too trusting of Tommy Bowden, and it happened last night, the annual Clemson flake job, which I forgot about.
Well, and the bottom line is that this is college football. College football is about as least predictable as it comes. And it's all about, you know, momentum and home field advantage and, you know, quick players and big plays. And
which gets back to what we talked about last night at 10:30. In the end, this isn't the NFL with numbers in a column.
Right.
This is the emotion of college football. And if you're wondering, if you're divided, if you don't know how to go, pick with your gut in college football, not with your head. That's why I've been a Hokies apologist and have picked them a lot, because gut feelings usually tell me, especially in a setting like that, Virginia Tech, I disobeyed the gut. And I lost, and they won last night. Bob on two, real fast. Hey, Bob, thanks for holding on.
Hey, Jed, how are you this evening?
I'm well. Good to talk to you.
Thank you. Good to talk to you. Gut feeling.
Virginia 27, State 24.
27-24. So the Cavaliers are learning how to win games consistently in the ACC, eh?
I believe so. That's what they've been needing the last couple of weeks. They've been playing better. I think they learned how to win.
I think they found the formula. Good stuff, Bob.
All right. Have a great evening.
Thanks. You as well. Take care. By the way, real quickly, one more gut feeling on Virginia Tech. My gut feeling, purely going with my gut, not saying I want this to happen, Virginia Tech's going to win the ACC. They're going to play in the BCS. If you look at the schedule, Georgia Tech plays Miami this weekend.
It's possible.
Dennis Green.
It is.
Georgia Tech, they are what we thought they were. They are what we thought they were. I'm just waiting for the inevitable Georgia Tech flag job. And then Tech goes to Miami next weekend and wins that game, and Georgia Tech loses one more down the stretch, maybe at NC State. And what do you know? 2 weeks from now, gut feeling could be right. Virginia Tech could be right back in Jacksonville again. One last thing before we go to break. Brandon Orr is not going to win ACC Player of the Year. He's not up for the Heisman Trophy. He's not the most outstanding player in the ACC. All of those designations belong to Calvin Johnson, the wide receiver at Georgia Tech. But is Brandon Orr the single most valuable player to his team in the Atlantic Coast Conference? Pretty good argument for that. Pretty good argument.
I'd probably go Riley Skinner, but Brandon Orr is a good argument.
I'd go Jim Grobe.
Oh, okay.
They lost everything probably except Jim Grobe, you know?
Brandon Orr is a very, he's low to the ground, it's a low center of gravity, and he can move when he gets those blocks, and he got those blocks last night.
I wrote four names down. Calvin Johnson. He's got to be there if he's that outstanding. Mm-hmm. Matt Ryan, the quarterback at Boston College, that changed their whole offense for him. Gaines Adams, the defensive end, the sole survivor from the Clemson defense, and Brandon Orr. 37 carries for 203 yards. Guess what? Clemson had one plan and one plan only, run the ball. They didn't have a backup plan and they failed. Virginia Tech had one plan and one plan only, and thank God for them it worked. And it worked because of number 28, Brandon Orr. Going to break on the best seat. More of your phone calls coming up. Guess the score for prizes and tell us, have the Cavaliers learned how to win games consistently in this conference? 977-1070. We're coming right back. Friday best seat.